الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The following hadith was narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. And we're still discussing transactions, selling and buying, what's allowed and what's not allowed from Umdatul Ahkam. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not go forward to meet the caravans to buy from it on the way before it reaches the town. And do not urge buyers to cancel their purchases to sell them your own goods. And do not practice Najash. And a resident should not sell the goods on behalf of a Bedouin. Do not leave sheep unmilked for a long time when they are on sale, and whoever buys such an animal has the option of returning it after milking it if he wants to keep it. He should do so, and if not, he should return it along with a sa' of dates. And in another narration, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, he has the choice of 3 days. In this hadith, we have a number of issues that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us not to do. So one of the transactions that are not permissible is to meet the caravans. What is meant by meeting caravans? The Prophet is telling us about the situation, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when people are in the town, usually Bedouins, nomads from out of town living in the desert or dwelling around, but not in towns. They come to sell their goods. They have milk, they have ghee, they have certain things that they produce. So they come into town to sell. The Prophet is telling us that those among us who are smart, they say, if they come to town, they're going to ask about the prices and they would ask for something. No, we will go out of town to meet them and to buy from them so that they do not go into town and raise the prices. So we will buy cheap. Now, who will be harmed by this? The Bedouins. So the Prophet says, as-salam, do not do this. This is unfair. They are people who need to have profit. By going there and fooling them, you will not give them the chance to know the prices. Leave them. This is not permissible. Then the Prophet said, والسلام, do not sell over your brother's transactions. How is that? You remember that we have the choice of the majlis, the gathering, the choice of condition. So I know that the brother A, has sold his car to brother B, and they have 3 days or 5 days condition. And then the sale would be final. So in these 5 days, I go to brother A and I tell him, why did you sell your car for so little? I'll give you 500 extra. What will brother A do? He will go to brother B and say, give me my car, I changed my mind. Or the opposite. I will go to brother B and I say, why did you buy this car so expensive? I give you a similar car, a better car, less money. What would he do? He would go to the brother A and tell him, I want to choose to cancel the bargain. Now, my action is haram because I will gain the hatred of the brother. Either one of them, depending on if I'm buying or selling, he would hate me. And this kind of dealing is haram. Now, one would say, yes, but he's smart. He's working hard, he's working overtime, he's going this. This is not permissible in Islam. A similar thing to it, but it's not mentioned in this hadith, is to propose to a sister when your brother has already engaged with her. They're not married. I know that the brother went to see the family of so-and-so, and they looked at each other, the girl and the boy, they sat with the presence of the father and they like each other, khalas, they proposed. And the family of the girl agreed. and they decided to make the marriage contract after a week or two, a month or two. Are they man and wife? No, they're strangers. They don't talk to each other, but this is an engagement. So I say, I'm Sheikh. I'll go and I propose to that girl. So I go to her family and I say, I'd like to marry your daughter. So, wow, definitely we'll accept. Now, what will the brother think and feel? If I see him, I'm going to kill him. Of course, not the Sheikh and anyone who jumps into his proposal to break it. And this is completely prohibited in Islam. One would say, okay, what is the ruling on the family of the girl? Are they sinful? Is the family of the girl sinful? No, they're not sinful. They're not committed. It's a proposal, it's an engagement, it's not marriage. If someone proposes to my daughter and I accept, and a week later someone better than him proposes, would I say, wallahi, sorry, she's already engaged? No, I'll break my first engagement with that one and accept that one. I choose the best for my daughter. Who's sinful? The person who knows that she's engaged and yet he still insists on going and proposing. So this is not permissible in Islam. Then the Prophet ﷺ forbade Najash. Do you know what Najash is? Najash is to raise the price. How? We have an auction over a car. A man wants to sell his car for 10,000. It is worth 10,000. And there are people wanting to buy. Najash is either to raise the price so that I would benefit the seller, or I would raise the price so that I would harm the buyer. There is someone who wants to buy the car. So I talk to 5 or 6 of my friends and say, the owner of the car is our friend. We always play football together. Let's go. So how much the car is for? 9,000. I said, 10,000. And the man watching, he says, if he says 10,000, it's worth more. 10,500. 10,500, 10,500. Another man says, 12,000. And the poor man is being fooled. Oh, all these people are raising the price and bidding higher, and he buys it for 20,000. Now, whether my intention is to benefit the seller, I don't have any intention to buy, or my intention is I hate that man, I want him to lose 20,000. So I'm raising it until he lost it. Both ways, I am sinful, and it is completely prohibited for me to do this. You would not like anyone to do that for you, would you? Then the Prophet says, alayhi salatu wasalam, a person who's residing, a town dweller, must not sell for a Bedouin or a nomad. In the beginning, I'm not allowed to go and buy from him. Now here, I'm not allowed to sell for him. What's the difference? The difference is, in this case, I am harming the market. How? When the nomad came, he doesn't know the prices. If he goes to the market, he's going to sell, but not in the perfect price. Because anyone who comes to him, okay, I'll sell you. He doesn't know the value. So I tell him, listen, I will sell it for you and I'll take my commission. The Prophet says, no, this is not permissible. Why? Because I am the town dweller, I live in the town, I'm resident, I know the prices. So when I go, sell it for 5, no. 10, no. 50, no. 55, okay, I'll sell it for you. Who's harmed by this? Are the merchants in the market who wait for these nomads and Bedouins to come and sell, and they buy and make a profit out of it. They didn't fool anyone. But by me working as a broker, then I have caused the whole society to suffer. And in the first one, as the same thing, I'm causing this Bedouin to suffer by buying it the cheapest possible when I receive him outside the borders of the town. And then the Prophet goes to speak about one of the choices, alayhi salatu wasalam, the choices of beautifying something when it is not as reality. And this is in the case of a person buying a sheep, and the owner of the sheep has stopped milking it so that it became full of milk. The Prophet says, alayhi salam, if you buy such a sheep, if you buy such a goat and you milk it, usually you cannot tell from the first milk, but within 3 days, as in another narration, you will find out. Because the first day you milk it, second day there's no milk, third day there's no milk. What to do? Here the Prophet ﷺ is giving you a choice. So he says, you have the choice either to keep it, khalas, I bought it, I'm going to keep it, then the transaction is valid and accepted. Or you return it, you go to the person who sold it to you and say, you have cheated me. Take your goat, take your sheep. But you, the Prophet says, Asam, have to return it back with a sa' of dates. What's the meaning of sa'? It's a measurement by weight or by size? By size. We have two types of measurement, either by size, like liters, or by weight, like kilograms. In the Islamic forms of measurement, we have sa', which is something that, a container, that you put things in it, and when it's full, this is a sa'. How much is a sa'? It is 4 mud. And what is the mud? The mud is what you gather in the hands of a normal person. So this is mud. 1, 2, 3, 4 constitutes a sa'. And the sa' is an Islamic measurement we use in kafara, expiations, we use in zakat al-fitr, we use in a lot of things. So the Prophet says, Al-Islam, return it with a sa' of dates. Why? Because I already milked it. So this is in compensation, because I can return it to the man and says, Ya akhi, but there was milk. Where's the milk? I drank it. Come on, give me the money. He said, okay, where is the price of the milk you drank? And here would be a reason for dispute. Because, okay, how much you want for the milk? He says, I want 100. Yeah, but I took only 1 liter or 2 liters. He said, no, there were like 20 liters. Prove it. I can't prove it. Then there will be dispute. So the Prophet ﷺ closed all doors for dispute and he said, give it back with 1 sa'. Okay, if it's 1 liter or 5 liters, 1 sa'. If it's a cow or a camel, which means that the milk is much, much bigger, 1 sa'. And this cuts all means of dispute between both of us. Khalas, the Prophet ruled it, alayhi salam. It's not a human being. It's a ruling from Allah Azza wa Jal, then it has to be this much, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.